going to start out in Psalm 139, as I just read for the kids a few minutes ago, and then keep your finger there. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, as we have been over the last couple of weeks. So I do want to take just a minute and highlight for you, as I mentioned last week, today, we are remembering the sanctity of Black Sunday. Hopefully, over this past week, you took some time to pray about those things and to maybe encourage folks during this week to remember the value of each person's life. And so with your bulletin this morning, you were given this piece of information through the ECHOES Pregnancy Center. Some of you are probably familiar with them in Great Falls, a tremendous organization that our church has partnered with over many years to support and to help those walking through pregnancy and in times of crisis. And so I want you to continue to pray for this organization. Look for opportunities to invest and be a part of that each year we do. If you remember the baby bottles during Mother's Day, we collect those baby bottles. They're sent there to ECHOES. We're directly involved in helping to be a part of this important ministry here in Great Falls, as well as across our state and in this region. So if you have your fingers there with me in Psalm 139, I want to start there as we kind of begin to think about the sanctity of life, the value of each person's life. And we go back here to what the psalmist says in these verses. And as we kind of referenced it time and time again, we've been in Isaiah 43, as you will see on the front of the ECHOES information, a verse that we started this sermon series out with, Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. It reminds us that God created each of us. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 remind us of that same important truth. Now, for many of us, maybe we're at that stage in life to where we think, well, our purpose is already kind of served. Or maybe you're at that point in life where you're just trying to figure out what your purpose is. I mean, where do we go from here, and what does my life look like now? But purpose is one of those things, I think, no matter what stage in life we are in, it continues to evolve, it continues to change, it's something that grows. And as we've talked about over the last few weeks in the book of Ephesians, ultimately purpose is found in Christ. Outside of that, so many times we define purpose by outward, extrinsic opportunities, things that we do with our hands, or maybe even things that we do with our minds, but purpose actually comes much deeper from God himself. The fact that we are created, our identity is found in him. So Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 tell us this. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this full well. This section of Scripture, even though it is a very probably familiar section of Scripture, what we begin to understand as the psalmist reminds us, he starts out that God created, that you is that universal picture of who God is, that he created even our inward parts. You know, I'm not much of a physician. I have, obviously, you probably know that. I don't know a whole lot about the internal body. But I can tell you, it is an amazing thing. Maybe some of you have been in the healthcare industry. Maybe you've been involved in those things. If you take a look at the human body, it is an amazing thing, isn't it? That there are parts to our body that, if they don't function, well, it affects everything else, doesn't it? You may remember a few years ago, I had foot surgery. I never had a clue what foot surgery, how big of an impact it would have on the rest of my body. But, you know, our bodies are created with specific purposes. If one part of that body doesn't function or doesn't work, everything else begins to suffer. The psalmist here reminds us that God is the one who created even our inward parts, our hearts and our lungs, and kind of that gooey stuff that I don't really know anything about. But, you know, all of those things function in a way that they're intended to, because that's how God intended to. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense as we begin to think about it, but God created those things to work. And when those things don't work right, what begins to happen? If your heart doesn't work right, what begins to happen? You start dying. That's probably a really, that's the process. Like, you start dying. You know, our inward parts were created with purpose. Our inward parts were created for a reason. The psalmist goes on and writes, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." Now, I'm not a knitter. Obviously, I didn't know the difference between knitting and crocheting, even though my wife has told me a number of times. When we live down in Superior, it snows a lot in Superior, if you didn't know that. And you don't go outside very often. So I learned how to crochet. I even have a customized, I ground the back end of it off to make it faster. Because, anyways, that's a different story. But I learned to crochet, and I made a hat. And I didn't know that, knitting, crocheting was such an intricate thing. Some of you are smiling at me like, you are a goober, and you don't have a clue what you're talking about. I don't. But if you've ever seen someone who can do it well, it's an amazing thing. You can look at my hat that I made, and you can clearly tell I don't know how to do it. But someone, you look at their flaws, their things, their parts, you can just tell it's bad. And it was bad from the beginning. But someone who can knit really well or crochet really well, they can make something literally out of a piece of string. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. You know, the reason I kind of hammer in on these two pictures is that if God can make us on purpose, that if our hearts, something simple, something that we rarely even give attention to, if it functions and does what it's supposed to do, then why can't we? Or why shouldn't we? Or that metaphor of God knitting us together in our mother's womb, that even the most simple of things, a piece of string, can be brought together to create something beautiful. See, many of us struggle with purpose throughout our life. We struggle to know where our value comes from. We struggle to understand how we can use the past experiences or even the present difficulties to bring something good out of something so hard. You know, over the past couple of weeks, we've looked in the book of Ephesians as Paul writes to this church, a group of people who, in fact, endured a great amount of difficulty, a great amount of hardship. They were struggling to understand who they were as a people. Now, I can remember there were moments in life to where I seriously questioned what my purpose was. There are things I tried. There's a lot of stuff I tried to do in my life, and I just quickly figured out I was not good at it. How many of you ever tried something, and immediately you knew you weren't good at it? A few of you, quite a few of you, yeah. Basketball. I shared with you my basketball story. I won't belabor that story. Basketball is one of those things. Like, I remember even as a small child, I grew up in a small community, And we had, little kid basketball. I remember the first time I tried to bounce a basketball, and I can remember this thought, I'm not going to be good at this. And it turns out I wasn't, and still am not. But you see, there are things that we do in our lives to where when we do it that first time, there's something that just sinks deep inside of us. And it's our purpose. It's our identity. It's how God has created and wired us. And over the last three chapters, we've been given this practical information about how we can use our purpose as it's found in Jesus. So I want us to begin. We're going to look just at the first 16 verses in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. I want to break it into two different parts because I believe as Paul wrote this section of Scripture, there's two different ideas, if you will. So I want us to begin with this foundation of knowing that God has given each of us a purpose. We'll call it a calling. That each of us have been given a calling. Each of us have been given a reason to exist. And Paul charges each of us to walk in a manner worthy of that purpose. So let's look at the first six verses in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and is in all. Now, if we back up, if we look first of all in verse 1, Paul reminds us, as he did in the very first chapter of the book of Ephesians, that he is where? He's in prison. Right? Paul is in prison. It says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, reminding us that his status, if you will, he is not in a very good place. So Paul writes these words, reminding the Ephesian people that ultimately their circumstance does not determine their purpose. You see, because Paul's circumstance should have been, I've got no hope. I'm sitting here in a Roman jail. There's nothing I can do. But rather than sulking in the difficulty, he looked for the opportunity. Now, Paul here writes this letter, and he gives this immediate charge. And he says, I urge you, and really that word urge is translated similar to what a spur would be. Now, we've talked about this before. If you've ever been on a horse, what's the use of a spur? What's that? To encourage. Now, that's a different idea. You see, some people would think that a spur is used as an instrument of pain. Spurs, in fact, are not an instrument of pain. They're used to encourage or to move in a certain direction. You see, that's that word here that Paul gives, this idea of urging, that we are being urged to move in a new direction, that we are being spurred. Now, if a horse doesn't respond to an initial pressure, you increase the pressure, right? And as they move, they understand the direction you're asking them to go. Now, for many of us as Christians, I think this idea of purpose or calling, maybe we felt a push in that direction. Maybe we felt an urging in that direction. We thought, no, I don't want to go there. I'm not going to be good at that. No, well, you don't know where I've been, or this has happened to me in the past, but God keeps pushing and keeps urging and keeps telling us to take that step. Now, why? Because God has called each of us. Some of you may look at your life and you say, but Chad, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. I'm not capable. I'm not able. I'm not intelligent. I've been there. I've done this. But you see, Paul gives this overarching statement, and he says that each of us are to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, we have been given grace by Christ. You see, that's where it comes back to our identity. It's not in ourselves. Our identity is in the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. His blood was shed. And we, as we accept that forgiveness into our lives, have been given new purpose. Many struggle with that idea because they haven't received that forgiveness in their lives. Paul here gives us the statement that each of us have received a calling because of who Christ is. And now verse 2 takes an interesting step. Verse 2, first of all, reminds us that there's not only a source, the source being Christ, but there are different signs that have been given to each of us of how we are living out that calling, how we are living out that purpose in our lives. Now, Paul begins in verse 2 with a difficult subject called humility. Why is humility difficult? See, a lot of times whenever we have our purpose, have you ever known somebody that was really good at something and they knew it and wanted everybody else to know it as well? You ever known somebody like that? They knew they were good. And they had to make sure everybody else acknowledged the fact that they were good. Now, we would not characterize that person as humble, would we? You see, humility is this unique character that we find ultimately. It's a word translated, it literally means lowliness. The Greek word literally means lowly. Now, when we talk about purpose, we talk about calling, a lot of times that doesn't bring us to a place of humility, does it? The reason that we can approach our purpose or we can approach our calling with humility is because ultimately it didn't come from us. We go back to Psalm 139 and it tells us that who created our inner parts? Was it you? Was it me? It was God. That God created our inner parts. He knit us together with a purpose and with a plan. And because of that, we can approach that calling with humility. Humility is that difficult aspect to realize that, you know what? We don't deserve any of it. We don't deserve it yet. We've done nothing to earn the fact that God has forgiven us. We've done nothing to earn the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So we can approach it with lowliness or humility. Now that doesn't decrease our value. So often we try to boast ourselves or build ourselves up because we think it's going to build our value. Ultimately, our value, our purpose, is not found in the things around us. Ultimately, it's found in Jesus. And that's why Paul says that we are to approach, he's urging us to receive our calling with humility. Second of all, gentleness. Gentleness. I had a conversation this week with someone who I would characterize as a bully. You ever encountered a bully?
No.
Now, as a man who is 6'5", and there might be a 3 somewhere in my weight now, I don't know if there is or not. I'm not a small man. And oftentimes we think that bullies pick on small people. See, bullies look for anybody they can pick on. Now, sometimes there are such things as Christian bullies who think that their purpose is to make you feel less about yourself. Have you ever, don't say any names, please. Have you ever encountered a Christian bully? You see, they're a difficult people because ultimately they think that they deserve, they've earned, and they've been given the ability to run you over and say whatever. You see, Paul reminds us that ultimately our purpose, our design is to be approached with humility and gentleness. You see, if you look at the image of who Jesus was described as the good shepherd, as gentle, as kind, as approachable. You see, this picture of purpose, when we find our purpose, we're not to use it as a weapon, we are to use it as a tool. Now, how many of you have ever been hit with a crescent wrench? You ever been hit with a crescent wrench? Like it slipped off of something, you hit yourself with it. Most of us probably been hit with a crescent wrench. Now that tool can be used for something amazing, right? But in the wrong hands, it can be used as something very painful. You see, the gift, the purpose, the calling that we have been given can be used to build others up, or it can be used to tear others down. And that's why Paul says that we are to approach it with humility and gentleness. The third one, that he tells us that we are to approach it with patience. The word I put up on the screen is long suffering. Now, patience, many of us, have you ever prayed for patience? Every one of you, like, you're probably praying for patience now. It's like, what's that? You see, patience is a difficult thing to develop. Now, and the reason I use that word develop is that I think humility is something we have to develop, gentleness is something we have to develop, patience is something we have to develop. Now, I like that word long-suffering because ultimately when you look at it, it means that you're going to be put under pressure. You're going to be in difficult circumstances. And patience is enduring that no matter how long it takes. You know, we know some things about diamonds. You know, diamonds are an amazing thing. We look at them, they're beautiful, they're wonderful. I mean, they're done right. A diamond is one of the most precious stones on the face of the planet. But diamonds take time, don't they? And they take what? Pressure. They take pressure and time. See, patience is one of those things that when as we discover our purpose or we discover our calling, so often we want it quick. We want it now. But I can tell you, if I look back over my life, I can tell you there are things that God allowed to be a part, even mistakes that I made that brought about pressure, and it took time, but yet God created something beautiful from it. You see, this picture of purpose, this picture of calling, sometimes takes time, and it takes pressure to produce what God is asking. And the fourth sign that we are given of our purpose, of our calling, is that of love. It says that in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love. The title of this morning's sermon, if you see it on your bulletin there, is Common Purpose. And as we think about our purpose, so often we think of it individualistically, that this is about me. Church, let me offer this for us this morning. Maybe our purpose is about we. Our purpose isn't just about me and what I can accomplish under my own talents, under my own abilities. In fact, our purpose is about what we can accomplish with our combined purpose, with our combined identity. We all joke about that. Many years ago, the phrase came about that there's no I in what? Team. And so often, we talk about this picture of the church, of the body of Christ, as if it's just you, or it's just me. But Paul reminds us here that our purpose is actually found together, and that our purpose is defined in our identity in Christ because of his great love for us. Now, that song, the last song that we sang, reminds us, it says, they will know we are Christians by what? By our love. Does it say they'll know we are Christians by our arrogance? Will they know we are Christians by our impatience? Will they know we're Christians by our judgment? Surely they'll know it by our judgment, right? No. They'll know we are Christians by our love. You see, our common purpose together is to show the light of Christ to the world around us. That purpose ultimately comes as we are humble, as we are meek, as we are patient. This love that we're talking about is not just a Christian value, it is the Christian value. The picture of who Christ is defined ultimately by his love for us. And then as we look at this final picture, this talking of unity, that the patience, accepting one another with love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. You see, the signs of our calling are these five things you see listed on the screen: humility, gentleness, long-suffering, or patience, love, and peace. You see, no matter what we are good at, no matter what talent we have been given, these qualities, these characters are to be the sign of how Christ's purpose is being lived out in our hearts and in our lives. Peace is one of those difficult pictures as we think about it in our world today, that peace seems to evade each of us. But Paul reminds us in verse 4, he tells us the shape, if you will, of that peace, of that humility, of that gentleness, of that love. Starting in verse 4, it says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. See, Paul reminds us that it all comes down to one. That we have one hope for our calling. That we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That it wasn't a bunch of different things brought together, but it all comes back to Jesus. See, he is the example of purpose. He is the example of calling. He's the example of peace and of patience and of love. And because of that, we can be equipped for ministry. You see, these next few verses I want us to look at in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, as we build on the foundation of our identity being found in Christ, we come to understand that each of us have been given gifts and talents. We've been given callings and purpose. Starting in verse 7 through 12 of Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us this. Now grace was given to each of you according to the measure of the Messiah's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took prisoners into captivity. He gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower parts of the earth, to the one who descends in the same as the one who ascends far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he personally gave some to apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints and the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. Now let's back up, because these few verses, they're kind of difficult verses to understand. As I read it, most of you are probably like, what does it mean? He ascended, he descended. What difference does that make? Ultimately, what that says is that God on high came to earth. Jesus in the flesh came to earth. He came, he descended, and then he ascended and returned back to heaven. Now, that verse 7 is an important place for us to begin as we think about how much grace, how much gifting has been given to us. Let's back up. It says, now grace was given to who? Was it to you and to you, but not to me? No, it says it was given each one of us according to the measure of the Messiah's gift. Now, some of us have probably encountered people and we look and say, they are a lot more talented than I will ever be. Ever known somebody like that? Where you look at them and doggone it, they're just good at everything. You ever known somebody like that? They just drive you nuts. And we think, well, how come God gave them all those gifts and God gave them all those abilities? And I can't even clap and sing at the same time. I tried this morning and it was rough. Ask Shannon. We look and we say, well, what does that mean? Maybe God loves them more than he loves me. Maybe God gave them more purpose than he gave me. No, according to what Paul has to say, that he gave grace to each of us according to the measure of the Messiah's gift. Now church, how much was the Messiah's gift? It was everything. You see, Jesus gave everything. It says he loved us even to the point of death, and death on a cross. You see, the measure of the Messiah's gift is not something that we can even fathom. In fact, the measure of the Messiah's gift is beyond our understanding. You see, he has given us grace. He has given us the gift of life. He has given us a calling and purpose that's beyond what we can ever, ever fully understand. But it comes back to understanding what that is. The fact that it's found in Jesus. Let's go back to verse 11. Understanding that each is gifted, we first have to realize that there are a variety of gifts. Now, Paul reminds us in the previous verses, he talks a great deal about unity. He tells us that we are to be unified as one body. But so many times as a body, we become disunified. Maybe even in the life of the church, we look and we say, well, their gift is better than my gift. See, that's what was happening in the church at Ephesus. There was an argument. Can you believe that? In the church? There was an argument in the church. And somebody got mad because somebody else was good at something that they weren't. And they got to do it. Now, the church at Ephesus, there had been great division and great difficulty. And Paul writes in this letter and he says, listen, it all comes back to Jesus. He's the one that gave you the ability in the first place. And that's why we can be unified. Even though our gifts and our talents are different. In this variety of gifts, Paul only gives a small portion of what those gifts might be. He tells us again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, he says, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, and the gifts of healing, helping, managing, and various kinds of languages. In verse 11, he says he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints, the word for the ministry to build up the body of Christ. You see, ultimately, as Paul gives this list, it's not an exhaustive list. But this list, first of all, tells us, it reminds us that our gifts come back to Jesus. This idea of apostles, of prophets, of evangelists, of pastors, and teachers means our gifts are intended to be used for a purpose. Our calling and our ability comes from the purpose Christ has given to each of us. Now, some of us may never preach a sermon, but that doesn't mean we don't preach. Some of us may never teach a Sunday school class, but that doesn't mean we don't teach. Some of you may not say, well, I can't be an evangelist because I've never been overseas, or I'm afraid to go knock on somebody's door. But that doesn't mean we don't evangelize. See, so many times we take these gifts, and I think that's why Paul doesn't get extremely specific. Because we take these gifts and we think, well, that's only for them, and that's only for them, but that's not for me. You see, each of these gifts, each of these talents, we can exhibit in different ways. When I say that you may never teach a class, but you teach. If you have a child, you are a teacher. If you have a job, you are an evangelist. If you have an opportunity to speak hope and love into somebody's life, you might be an apostle. Maybe you encourage somebody in a difficult time. Maybe you point them to Jesus. You see, those are the gifts that each of us are given. And they may look different. They may be used in different contexts. But those gifts each have a place in the purposes that God has called each of us to be. And maybe you are a teacher. And God has given you a specific platform. Maybe you are an evangelist. Maybe you have the gift of prophecy. Maybe you have a gift of helping others and encouraging in difficult times. Maybe you have that gift. Let me challenge you, as Paul did, urge you, as Paul did, to use that gift for the purpose that he called us to accomplish. Now we ask, what is the purpose of our gifts? Paul gives us very clearly in chapter 4, starting in verse 12, that these purposes of apostles, of prophets, of evangelists, of pastors, of teachers, is for what? For training the saints and the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. You see, that's our purpose. Our purpose is to go into the world and shine into the darkness so that people can come and be a part of the body of Jesus. So they can know and experience what you and I have experienced. They can be a part of knowing the forgiveness that God has extended to us through his Son, Jesus. Now, it's important that we take a minute and understand that even though each of us have been gifted, we can use our gift in the wrong way. You see, if our gifts are being used to cause division, if our gifts are being used to give personal gain, we are not using our gifts to the ability that God has called us to use them. You see, God reminds us here through the words of Paul that our gifts are used to build one another up. That our gifts are meant to unify, not separate. There have been folks and people that I've encountered in my life that have, as I mentioned, used their gifts as a weapon rather than a tool. Use that ability, use that talent to cause distraction and hurt and hardship rather than to bring each other up and to encourage in the midst of difficulty. Church, my prayer, my hope is that we as a body are using our gifts to build one another up. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12 reminds us of this. Since you are eager for manifestation of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. And this just isn't a promotion for church attendance. This is building up the body, the kingdom of God here on earth, to bring about the hope that he has shared with us. So this morning, as we begin to conclude, I want us to look at these final three verses in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. As Paul has kind of outlined over these last few verses that we are to walk according to the gift given to us, that we are united as one body, as one spirit, in one baptism, that we have been given the great measure of God's gift through Jesus. We are to grow up then in Christ. Starting in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us this. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing up into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness, there will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by the very wind of teaching, by human cunning, with cleverness and technique of deceit. But speaking truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. For him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for the building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. You see, Paul comes back again to this picture, this metaphor of the body, that it has been knit together, it has been brought together, as we mentioned in Psalm 139, that first of all, we are to mature in Christ. Now, I have to wonder, I'm sure I'm not alone, but there was a moment in time that somebody told me, Chad, you need to grow up. Whoever told you that? It hurt my feelings really bad. Because I thought I was, surely I was mature at that point. I was like 16. I was like, you know, I wonder sometimes as Christians, maybe we need to hear that. Maybe sometimes we need to grow up. Sometimes as Christians, we become so distracted, we become so disheartened, we become so broken about these things in our lives, and we just need to grow up. Paul says that we are to mature as Christians. Now, that's that idea. Some of us may be familiar with the word sanctification. Sounds like a big word, but it has a pretty simple meaning. That as we accept Christ into our life, we are redeemed. We call that justification, that we are made right with Christ. But as we grow in Him, we are sanctified, which means we are created and shaped more into the image of Jesus. You see, as Christians, we are to never stop growing. We see that here in these verses as we read, that the stature is measured by Christ's fullness, that our maturity is measured by Christ's fullness. None of us will ever achieve it, so all of us should be continuing to grow in it. You see, church, I said this a few weeks ago, but I want to say it again. We can't retire as Christians. We don't ever get to a place where we know enough, where we've done enough, where we've followed enough. Because until we reach eternity, we will never be fully sanctified. You see, our purpose isn't over just because we've gotten older. Our purpose isn't over just because we don't think we have an ability in that area. You see, each of us have been called to grow in this dynamic, this growing, healthy relationship with Christ. See, Paul reminds us we are to grow up in Him and in Christ, and that as we do that, we are to no longer be tossed around by the waves, blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. See, church, there will be things and people that will try to convince you, that will toss you around, that will tell you, just do this and it's going to make it all better. See, our purpose, our identity has to be found in Jesus. And through Jesus, we are given the opportunity to exercise the talents and gifts that He has given us. But if we are using those things to create difficulty in others, or create difficulty around us, we have been tossed about just as if the world had convinced us otherwise. You see, this morning as we conclude, I want us to remember, first of all, that each of us have a purpose. Each of us have a calling. And that calling is found in Christ. And through Christ, we continue to grow and develop in those different areas, in those different places in our hearts. And through that unity is brought together. So as I mentioned to you, that hymn a few moments ago that Paul, as we conclude in these verses, he tells us that we are to speak the truth in love. Let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. See, church, this morning we are called to speak the truth in love. And ultimately our purpose is to show Jesus to those around us. This morning in the men's Sunday school class, a statement was made, we've all probably heard it before. Christians read the Bible, non-Christians read the Christian. Now, I think that's a very true statement. That our purpose is to build up the kingdom, not for personal growth, not for growth within our walls. But our purpose is to build up the kingdom, to shine the light and love of Jesus into the world around us. See, that's the highest calling any of us can be given. My charge, my urge, my challenge for you this week is to go and use your purpose to speak love into someone's life that may need to hear it. See, that's the greatest calling any of us can be given, to build others up. My hope is that if you don't know what your purpose is, maybe you think, well, I just don't know where I fit in this whole picture. Come and talk to me. We want to help you. Maybe you don't understand what it means to have an identity in Christ. Come and talk to me. I want to help you. Maybe this morning you just need to give back and you need to say, God, I know You've called me to do this. I know You've given me this purpose. Give me the strength. Give me the opportunity to be obedient in that. Whatever your decision is, I'll be here this morning as the worship team comes.